just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your Wildcard Wednesday requests in. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your Wildcard Wednesday requests. We're going to talk about political movies, the best political movies in honor of yesterday being Election Day. So we'll talk about politics in movies and also some celebrity endorsements from the past and present. Right now, though, as you hear Bill Withers, that means only one thing. It means that we're going to be talking to Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell does sports for us here at WGN on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantes weekday afternoons. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720, at kpowell720. Lots of stuff to talk about sports-wise here. Big stuff happening, and let's bring Kevin Powell in. Kevin, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, maybe not so much of a lovely day for some Blackhawks fans.
I was just going to say, Kevin, which story should we lead with? Jeez.
yeah, seriously, there's a lot going on right now. But man, about 8 o'clock yesterday morning, and I get the media relations note that Joe Quenneville has been relieved of his duties as the 37th head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, 452 wins later and 3 Stanley Cup titles later. And that's it for the era of Joe Quenneville is over. So I think Blackhawks Nation all day was just sort of kind of stunned, Nick. I think were.
As you know, I kind of like the Blackhawks, Kevin. Kind of a fan.
Yeah, I've heard.
I was absolutely stunned. I was sitting on my couch. I was just watching, because I usually like when I get home from work, I usually watch like some of the late night shows from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I was watching Colbert from the night before, and I was having a wonderful time because Colbert actually borrowed Triumph, the insult comic dog, he borrowed him from Conan and sent him to rallies for Beto and for Cruz. And it was genius, and I was laughing my ass off, and my phone started to buzz a little bit, and I looked, and I saw, it's like you, I got the note, and I went, are you kidding me?
Let me ask you, because you're a diehard Blackhawks fan. You're one of the biggest Hawks fans I know. Is it anger? Is it confusion? What do you feel as a Blackhawks fan?
It's a combination of anger and confusion. I realize that okay, look, here's the deal. I know 2 years ago they got swept by Nashville, and they had a less than stellar season last year. It was a very disappointing season for the Hawks. They didn't make it to the postseason, and they've been on a slump lately, and so I can understand that there needed to be a change made, and I knew that was coming. There was no question about it because there needed to be a change. There's no question because it's been a very disappointing Hawks time period from that sweep, from that Nashville sweep, and so I knew something was going to happen. I just don't think they should have got rid of Quenneville.
Let me ask you this question, though. I was reporting on it with Roe all afternoon. And I've been thinking about it. How do I feel about it? Let's put it this way. Okay. Would you have rather the Blackhawks, let's just say the season turns out the same way it did last year, and then you get rid of Quenneville?
Mm-hmm.
Or you go the dramatic route and bring in somebody new in a Hail Mary effort, hoping that it somehow injects some new life into the season.
Well, that's the route they went. Clearly, I would have stuck with Quenneville. That's just me. I would have stuck with Quenneville.
Yeah.
I think that Quenneville it doesn't have as much to work with as he once used to, and like Taves and Kane aren't as young as they used to be, and the younger guys that are coming in. are not on that same level. And I realize that he messes around a lot with the lines, and people get aggravated with that. He doesn't stick with some of the lines and stuff. But I just don't think he has as much to work with as he did in the heyday. And I don't know if getting rid of him is going to change that. I don't think that Colleton is going to be able to come in and work magic with what he's got to work with. And, you know,
right. Yeah, I think thinking about this from my vantage, initially stunned, I understand the anger for a lot of Blackhawks fans when your coach, who, like I said, won over 450 games for you.
Yep.
He won 76 playoff games.
I know.
It's I'm stunned there. I'm just sort of trying to make sense of the whole thing. I think that, I think when the dust settles a little bit, but look, we were talking about this with Ron. It was like, normally in most cases when a manager in town or a coach in town gets let go, it's normally a sigh of relief because it probably means it's a fresh chapter, right? Like, finally, we're moving on from this. We've been bad for so long.
Yeah.
The Bears move on from John Fox. It's a positive feeling among Bears fans. Joe Quenneville is one of the most beloved coaches ever in this town.
Absolutely.
I mean, right up there, top two or three. So to all of a sudden wake up to get this news, it was stunning. I think what the Blackhawks realize is that, okay, I think they took a Hail Mary and they made a drastic move in hopes that what happened last year would not happen again. That's really the only thing that's the only way I can make sense of this, or at least try to help Blackhawks fans cope with it a little bit.
I know, man.
Is that at least the Hawks were being proactive, and I know it sounds crazy to say that moving on from Joe Quenneville is being proactive, but it's something. And yes, I realize it's a small sample size this season, but we did see what happened last year. So am I a fan of the move? I've sort of been back and forth on it. Look, I love Q. He's been a class act. He's been a joy to work with. I mean, we work so closely with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And that's not even a bias. I'm just saying we've all got to know him a little bit. He's been a class act. He's treated everybody well. He has embraced the fan base. But we cannot sit here for another 50, 60 games and watch them play like they did last year. So it's a weird sort of unfortunate moment in Blackhawks history, but we'll see. I mean, Jeremy Colleton is a guy that is highly thought of in the hockey world, despite being just 33.
Yeah, he's only 33. I know, and again, him being announced as the replacement, I was like, well, you know, there could have been, you know, you couldn't got guys with more experience in the NHL.
But I almost like this more. Like, if you just brought in some veteran coach to take Q's spot, it would have been like, well, this seems like if you're going to go all in on a Hail Mary, go all in on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like bring in this kid. I shouldn't call him a kid. He's still older than me, but he's a kid in the hockey sense of the NHL coaching world. You know, I mean, four of the players on the team are older than him. He played with Brent Seabrook. So, you know, I think if you're going to go all in on this, if you're going to move on from a future Hall of Fame coach, go all in on it, on a guy who maybe has some advanced thinking or different sort of thinking than some coaches around hockey.
I got to say, you know, in reading, a lot of the articles that have been, you know, written about this all day long yesterday, the quotes from Taves and Kane, I think, were the most heartbreaking. Taves said, it's a definite shock. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there was going to be a change for a while. And the most heartbreaking is Kane, who said that, I wish I wasn't sick during the game in Vancouver. I wish I felt as good on the road trip. I could have played better. Suddenly Kane is like, oh man, I was sick. I feel terrible now. And that's the most heartbreaking quote, you know, that I've heard, you know, about this whole thing. So I don't know.
I remember last year, I think it was ESPN came out, you know, ESPN does these player polls where they're, you know, they don't reveal who voted what, but I believe it was ESPN, and it was which NHL coach would you most like to play for? And they did a survey among all the NHL players, and it was Joe Quenneville.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys grew up for the last decade with Joe Quenneville being their leader, and boom, just like that, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. And but I mean, obviously, Quenneville's going to land on his feet. I mean, that's not a question. You right. know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, he'll get hired someplace else. There's no question about it. And he'll continue.
No question.
And he'll continue to be a fantastic, amazing NHL coach. And I'm sure that he'll go on to win more accolades.
If he decides to keep coaching,
that's true. But anyway, his, you know, he's going to land on his feet. It's just that, you know, when I heard about this, I also find it, and I don't know, you know, I don't want to get all conspiracy here, but I also found it really interesting the timing, you know, on what day the Blackhawks announced that they fired Joe Quenneville.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot of people kind of brought that up. It's just like, that's, I think that added to the shock of all. It's like,
yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, the good news is, if there is good news here, this does not tarnish his legacy even a little bit.
Right.
He goes down as one of the greatest coaches in NHL history.
Right.
And one of the greatest Chicago sports icons ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they play tomorrow. So, but you know what? The season continues, man. We're still early into the season.
Yeah.
And I'm still rooting for them, and I'm still going to watch my Hawks. It was just a real, that was a real, kick in the nether regions this morning. So
yeah, it was. It was an eye opener.
It certainly was. Well, that's a heck of a way to wake up. So,
yes,
let's
sure.
Really quickly now. Let's talk a little. Man, the Bulls are they're 3-8. But the thing about the Bulls is that it's the injuries, correct?
Well, it's a rebuild mixed in with a bunch of injuries to key guys that are part of the rebuild. I mean, Lauri Markkanen is the stud of the team, probably your best player. Although Zach LaVine's actually been the one bright spot so far. For the Bulls, he's scored just 41 in that overtime win over the Knicks, a career high. So he's been a bright spot. But Markkanen's out, Chris Dunn's out, and Denzel Valentine's out. So the fact that you're in a rebuild, and then the guys that are major key pieces to the long term rebuild are out, you're not going to be very good. So that's the current state of the Bulls. But I just want to see what they look like when everybody gets healthy. Because right now it is an ugly product right now, Nick.
Yeah. And I have many Bulls fans on my social media news feeds, and it's just every time I look at one of the posts, they're not happy. People are just not happy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, look, when you tear down a team and then hope that some of these key guys can develop and play well and maybe get a win here or there and get some individual growth. Then you're okay with it, but when your key guys are on the bench and you're getting smoked by a bunch of teams, it's not fun to watch. So, look, I mean, you can't completely overreact to these slow start because of those injuries, but let's just look forward to when these guys are healthy. Markkanen should be back in a few weeks. Same goes for Dunn and Valentine. So I just want to see what they look like when everybody's healthy. Then it's a whole different ballgame, because then you can actually take some things that are noteworthy of these individual players and of the rebuild. So right now, just a bunch of bad injuries for the Bulls.
All right. Hang on, Kevin. All right, buddy?
You got it.
All right. Kevin Powell is with us. We talk sports with him, usually every few weeks. And we actually, we had, here's the thing. I want everybody to know that Dan had Kevin booked before the Quenneville story broke. I just want you to know that we didn't, you know, it was like, it, you know, like, it was funny because I sent Dan a text with a link to the Quenneville story, Dan, and I said, well, it looks like we'll have something to talk about with Kevin tonight.
And I said to Kevin, as a former producer, he knows sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Well, anyway, we got more sports stuff to talk about right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. That's right. We're back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You're here, Wildcard Wednesday. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, you heard that. Time to bear down. Kevin Powell is with us. He does sports afternoons for us on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And let's get back to it. Hey, Kevin, the Bears first place Chicago Bears. Let's talk a little bit about this has been kind of a fun season so far.
Yeah, first time they've had sole possession of first place through week 9 since 2012. So they're in the driver's seat here in what we thought was going to be a very competitive division. I think there are some good teams here. The Vikings, Detroit, and Green Bay have all had some bad losses, as have the Bears. But it's very tight, and we've got a streak here, a 3 straight division matchups for the Bears.
Right.
And all 3 are coming within an 11-day stretch. 12-day stretch. So this is really could kind of define the season and where the Bears go, because you got Lions, then Vikings in primetime, and then Lions again in primetime if you want to consider 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving, where the whole, everybody's watching.
Everybody's going to watch that game, yeah. Yeah,
you got 3 huge games coming up here, and they're big for sure.
Yeah. Well, did you expect them to have this kind of run? I mean, there are a couple of disappointing games. We want to talk about the Green Bay game, but there's a couple of disappointing games in there. But there was a blowout last week.
Yeah, I mean, there's always blind optimism with Bears fans, in training camp and things like that. But I'm actually not that surprised. I mean, if you look at the talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they're doing what they should do, and they had a couple down weeks, if you want to call them that, definitely in Miami, but the Khalil Mack injury hasn't helped. For the most part, the Bears are kind of what I thought they were going to be. And
okay, Denny Green.
I know, right? That's just stuck in my head, and it just comes out every now and again. I can't help it, Nick.
No, it's all right, man.
It just pops out in everyday life. That just pops out. They are who I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
But seriously, they are like a really good defense, and then a quarterback who has looked pretty good at times, but he's also had some inaccurate throws. Bears offense is averaging, or the Bears in general, averaging over 34 points per game over the past 5 games. That's top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah.
So they're scoring points, 14 of them coming on the defensive side of the ball last week, but they're doing enough on offense, and the defense is playing well, and the Bears are looking pretty good right now. But like I said, these next 3 weeks and the health of Khalil Mack weighs heavily on where this team goes over the next 6-7 weeks here.
Yeah, the next 3 weeks are really big. They're huge for the Bears. I know everybody's going to be watching. So speaking of football, let's go over to Northwestern, having a great year. They lost to Notre Dame this past weekend. You were at the game, correct?
Yeah, what an atmosphere. We were doing a show from there leading up to it because there was just such that buzz with Notre Dame in town. I mean, that was the first time since 1976 Notre Dame had played at Ryan Field.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've played it a good amount of times, but the previous 2 times they played, which were considered, I guess, Northwestern home games, were at Soldier. They weren't at Ryan Field.
Yeah.
So 1976 was the last time they were there. Man, it was just an awesome atmosphere because – look, I mean, Notre Dame's South Bend, but it's 110, 120 miles that separates the 2 schools. Chicago means so much to both of those universities for a lot of different reasons.
Right,
so,
right.
Northwestern was buzzing. Northwestern, if they take care of business the next few weeks and win 2 or 3, they're in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
So that's been sort of a fun year. They had a little rough start there to go, but they reeled together a 4 wins over their last 5 weeks, so they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and Dave Ennett seems happy. That's all that matters.
Say that again.
I said Dave Ennett seems happy, so that's all that matters.
That's all that ever matters. Is Dave is happy. So they didn't get the win against Notre Dame, but they fought hard, and that's a top. Look, Notre Dame's number 3 in the country. So Northwestern put up a fight at home. And like I said, they take care of business over the final few weeks. They're playing in the Big Ten championship game, and I think you can call that a successful year.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk before we get out of here. Let's talk baseball real quick. Cubs picked up the option for Hamels, Strope, and Quintana. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the Quintana one's a no-brainer. They're going to pick this one up and the next one because they are so team friendly. That was a big reason the Cubs wanted to trade for Quintana, because he makes so much sense contractually. Cole Hamels, there was maybe some questions that maybe they would try to buy him out and then, restructure the deal, maybe even add a second year onto the deal. But that makes sense. Honestly, all 3 deals made sense for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Strope's been good for them for so long out of the bullpen. Hamels was great last year after they traded for him. And Quintana, you're not going to get rid of Quintana after what you traded for him. So they all three made sense.
Yeah. Rizzo gets the gold glove. How about that? That's deserved.
He's just solid and consistent. You just can rely on him over there. So I think well-deserved for Rizzo, two straight now.
Yeah, and then Baez is among the finalists for MVP.
Yeah, what a year for Baez. He's not going to win. It's probably going to be Christian Yelich from Milwaukee. Sorry, that's salt in the wound.
It's true. Absolutely true. No question about it.
Yeah, but both great years for both guys, really.
And I'm really tired of the New England area winning as many championships as they do now. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Man, I think it was 11 championships now in the last 14 years, something like that. Come on.
It's killing me. You know, I mean, I know Boston Red Sox fans, they suffered second only to us. Cubs fans.
Right.
So, and I understand that.
But I know Boston suffered for a long time, but man, they should just leave those barriers and those like street guards up that line the parade route for all these teams, because you probably save the city some money.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
It's they're having a run over there, man.
They are. All right, Kevin. Well, listen, man, always fun to talk to you on my show, and I appreciate you taking the time to do it. You can hear Kevin Powell doing sports on afternoons on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, and you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720 and check out the podcast at wgnradio.com. Kevin, thanks, buddy.
Hey, can't thank you enough. Appreciate it, Nick.
Take care. See you later. There you go. Kevin Powell, everybody. And again, listen to him on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes doing sports every weekday. All right, we're going to take a break here for the news on 720 WGN.